You may be seated, and let's take our Bibles, and we're going to turn to a few places, but take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Last week, we started the series, The Bad Boys of the Bible. Let me tell you something that all the bad boys of the Bible have in common. They lacked faith. And I'm so glad, like that song we just sang, by faith we can see the hand of God. We don't live like people that never see God at work. We see his hand at work. How do we do that? By faith. Well, this morning we will be looking at Cain, a man who lacked faith. And in his lack of faith, we'll see that he doesn't see the hand of God. And his problems grow and grow. You know, brothers, the Bible tells us that brothers are born for adversity. You ever see little two brothers? Little two boys? They don't naturally love on each other. How do they show their love? They beat on each other, right? That's how they show love. Well, the first two boys ever born, they exhibit that truth that brothers are born for adversity. And the first boy born was Cain. The second boy born was Abel. And we'll see right away, brothers have conflict. Growing up in a house where we had five boys, things got interesting every once in a while. And we used to sit, this is the days before remote controls, okay? We had one of those, you know, turn thingies that you had to do on the TV, and if you wanted to change channels, you had to turn the knob, and to turn the volume up, you had to literally go over and turn the volume up, and our parents would let us watch 30 minutes of cartoons a day, and so we'd get home from school, and we had a cartoon that we liked to watch, the Flintstones. Who didn't like the Flintstones, right? And so we'd watch the Flintstones, and my brother Josh, he's the next brother younger than me. I'm the oldest boy. And when he was born, he was just big. And right away, he was as big as me. And so during commercials, he would get up out of his chair, and he'd look over at me, and he'd go, hee, hee, hee. And he'd come running over to me, and he'd jump on me, wrestle me down, pin my arms down with his legs, and he'd start playing with my face. Every commercial, he would do that. And then the show would start back up, and he'd get back up, he'd go sit back down. Commercial would come on, he'd come out and do the same thing. So one day, I was just sick and tired of it, and so before we started to watch our cartoon, I took the fireplace poker, and I hid it under the cushion. So when the cartoon came on, or when the cartoon got to commercial, he got up, and he comes running at me, and I reach under, and I pull out the fireplace poker, and wham, right in the forehead. Stopped him cold. And he just stood there for the duration of the commercial, and he went and he sat back down. I thought, this is a good idea. So I put the fireplace poker back underneath my cushion. And next commercial comes on. He gets up, a little less enthusiasm. And he comes running at me. I pull that thing out. Wham! I hit him again. This time, he's got a trickle of blood coming down from the middle of his forehead down his nose. I'm thinking, I like this plan. I can deal with this. Commercials come on every 5 to 7 minutes, you know. And so another commercial comes on. He gets up, and with a little bit of trepidation, he's... And he comes at me, and I think, all right, this time, head off of body. He should have learned his lesson. So I took that thing, and I swung as hard as I could, and he ducked, and I missed. And he grabbed the poker. Well, I'm no dummy. He's a lot bigger than me, but he's a lot slower than me. So I take off running. Now, our house, it was all built around the fireplace in the middle. And so you have the living room, the dining room, the kitchen, and then a hallway. And so I run from the living room into the dining room and around. My mom's in the kitchen. And I say, Mom! And my brother Josh is running after me. And he's got the fireplace poker. And he's yelling, I'm gonna kill you! And so we go around 3 or 4 laps. Mom! I'm gonna kill you. So finally, about the fourth lap, she grabs my brother Josh, grabs the fireplace poker. She looks at him. He's got a little trickle of blood coming down his forehead. And she goes, what are you doing? And he looks at my mom and he says, I'm going to take this and kill Thaddeus. He got spanked. I got nothing. What a wonderful day. But brothers are born for adversity. Brothers, they naturally have conflict. And we see that here with these two first brothers that are born. Now, what we also find with the first brothers that are born, we see that right away, the sin nature that Adam has brought to mankind, it is at work immediately. It wasn't like it took a couple generations for that sin nature to really build up momentum. No, with the first boys born, that sin nature jumps right into full gear. In Hebrews 11:4, it says this. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, by it he being dead, yet speaks. See, these two brothers, they both offered a sacrifice to God. Cain's was not accepted. Abel's was. Abel's was more excellent. Why was it more excellent? It was more excellent because of the gifts that were given. And by it, even today, even though Abel's dead, Abel was the first human being to die. And even when the writer of Hebrews wrote, he said it's still speaking. And you know what? Today, the blood of Abel still speaks. And what does the blood of Abel say? He was a righteous man. Well, even though he was a righteous man, his blood today screams, I need vengeance. His blood today screams, and it says, get him. Punish him. See, the blood of man, because of Adam's fall that we talked about last week, even in a righteous man cannot cry out good things from the grave because we have tainted blood. In 1 John 3:12, it says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. I mean, think about this. The first murder that took place on earth, it wasn't over a conflict of somebody stole something, somebody said something about them. No, the conflict was Cain offered a poor sacrifice, one that God could not accept. Abel offered a good sacrifice, one that God did accept, and so Cain kills his brother. Over in Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter in Jude, but in Jude verse 11 says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. So this way of Cain is something that we need to learn about. We need to understand this because we don't want to go the way of Cain. So now Genesis chapter 4. And before we go to Genesis chapter 4, after spending some time with Eve, Adam was walking in the garden with God, and God says to Adam, he says, what do you think about Eve? And Adam's like, wow, she means a lot to me. You really blessed her. I think she's the most wonderful of all your creation. But Adam said, God, can I ask you a question? And God said, sure. Adam said, why is Eve so beautiful? And God said, well, it's because I always want you to look at her with kindness and affection. So then Adam said, all right, Lord, well, why is her skin so soft? And God said, well, it's because I want you to show affection toward her. Okay. So Adam said, why does she always smell good? Why is she just so beautiful with her fragrance? And the Lord said, well, I want you to be near her. And Adam said, all right, God, but why'd you make her so stupid? And God said, so she would love you. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1 says, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and had a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So we see two different professions in the first boys that are born. The oldest son, he takes care of the fruits and vegetables. He's a farmer. And then we see that his brother is a farmer, but he's a farmer of a different sort. He deals with the livestock, with the animals. Now, God had already shown mankind how to sacrifice. He did that when he saw Adam and Eve were wearing leaves that were sewed together. And God said, no. You've sinned against me. You've seen good and evil now. And God says, here's how sacrifice should take place. And so God killed an animal for them, allowing for them to understand that blood sacrifice is necessary for man's sin. And God gives Adam and Eve the clothes made from the dead animal. So now Adam and Eve have an example of how sacrifice should be done. So you have a farmer who deals with fruits and vegetables. That's Cain. And you have a farmer who deals with livestock. That's Abel. Now, there aren't very many people on earth at this point, okay? Maybe a couple sisters have been born, but at the most, there's like 6-8 people on the earth at this time, okay? Not real hard to trade. Not real hard to barter with each other, or even just to ask a favor of your brother. And so it comes time for sacrifice, verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. First thing we need to see in this passage, and in your bulletin there's an outline if you want to fill that in to help you out, to stay with me as we go. First of all, we see that Cain offered an unacceptable sacrifice. Now, what made his sacrifice unacceptable? Well, it was the wrong method. God required a blood sacrifice. And he didn't want the very first boys that were born, because they're going to pass this on to their children and to their children. He wanted humanity to understand Messiah would come. Messiah would offer of himself a blood sacrifice for sin. And so he wanted to make sure that the first boys did it correctly, so they would teach their children and their children could teach their children. And so the idea of Messiah would be taught. Well, Cain has the wrong method. He doesn't bring a blood sacrifice. He brings a juice sacrifice. He brings a sacrifice from fruits and vegetables. I have no doubt that Cain brought the best of his fruits. You see, God does not accept the best of mankind. The best I have to offer and the best you have to offer cannot bring peace with God. And that's what Cain teaches us. That there is a proper sacrifice and there is an unacceptable sacrifice. The proper one, he accepts, and that is the sacrifice of blood. Now, today we don't offer animal sacrifices. Thank God, because I just would not want to have to do that. Today, God looks at the sacrifice of Jesus. And if your life is built on that sacrifice, if you have received his gift of salvation, that when Jesus died on the cross, he offered a sacrifice that pays for your sins. Literally, pays the penalty, so that you never have to pay the penalty for your sin. Because if we pay the penalty for our sin, we are separated from God for all eternity in the lake of fire. That's the only option. And so when we accept his blood gift, where he paid for our sins, now we don't pay that penalty. So we spend eternity with him forever in heaven. There's an acceptable sacrifice. There's one that's unacceptable. The unacceptable has the wrong method. Also, Cain had the wrong mind. His attitude was not that where he was trying to please God. His attitude was, I'm going to offer this, and somehow God will have to accept my sacrifice because I'm giving it, and I'm giving the best of what I have. You see, again, you and I cannot offer to God anything that is acceptable because we cannot take care of our own sin. We have to receive his sacrifice. Here's what Cain did. He offered something that was selfish. Fruits and vegetables were his business. And so he said, God, you will get my business. You will get what I want to offer. And today, if you come to God and say, God, you have to accept my offering, God will look at you and say, no, I am sorry. I will do no such thing. You see, Cain's sacrifice was rooted in selfishness. And any person who comes to Christ and offers anything other than the righteousness of Jesus, we offer the wrong thing. And so our mind will be wrong, and that's how Cain's was. It was wrong. You know what I hate? I hate it when people want to make church all about themselves. And appeal to the flesh. We appeal to the flesh in so many different ways. You know, God has got to be so disgusted when his people make our meeting all about themselves. You know what we do when we do that? We go in the way of Cain. You say, well, I need this to be done for me. Why? When did it become about you? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. And that's what this whole thing with Cain is all about. Cain did not look at Jesus Christ. He did not look to the coming Messiah. He looked to himself. And he said, God, I'm offering. It's not like Cain didn't offer a sacrifice. It's not like Cain just totally disregarded that whole aspect. No, he went and he offered sacrifice. He went and he did church. But he did it his way. God said, no, it's my way. We also see in Cain that he had unacceptable service. Look, read with me in verse 5. It says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth or very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth or why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you do well, if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. You see, part of Cain's problem is he offered an unacceptable service, not just an unacceptable sacrifice. He had unacceptable service. Because as soon as God confronts him, his countenance falls. I wonder how many times God confronts us and the things that we do in our life, and instead of us going, oh, Lord, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. Let me fix it. Our countenance falls, and what we do, we get angry. You know, you ever heard the phrase, don't shoot the messenger? How many times have we shot the messengers in our lives? There's people that God has sent our way to help correct us of our wrong, and instead of dealing with it the way God wants us to, our countenance falls. We get angry. And that's what happens with Cain. God says, hey, listen, you could have offered an acceptable sacrifice. Let me tell you how. God isn't saying, Cain, you can never be accepted. God is saying, Cain, you will be accepted. Make sure your sacrifice is correct. But Cain did not have proper service. He wasn't there to serve God. He was there to serve himself. And when he served himself and he was confronted on it, he got angry. His countenance falls. But not only his countenance falls, his conscience fell. Well, how does your countenance fall? Your countenance, it's the way you look, okay? It's the expressions on your face. It's the things that you communicate that come from your heart. When your countenance falls, here's what happens. You get the sour look. You get that, you know, the pouty face. You get the angry expression. You know, when I'm here with you, I know that we have something in common that I cannot find any other place. Because we have Jesus Christ in common. When I'm here with you, my countenance should show the joy I have that we can come together in Jesus Christ. And how sad must it be if our countenance cannot demonstrate the love of Jesus? Cain's could not. He had selfish anger. So then his conscience fell. Not only is the look on his face, his conscience fell. Because as his conscience started to dig at him, instead of dealing with it and saying, "All right, Lord, I'll make this right," he gets mad. And he starts to dream up ways to correct it so that God will bow to his way. And how many times do we do this with God? God confronts us on something and we go, God, I think I'm a little bit smarter on this area than you. God, when's the last time you had to deal with my coworker? God, when's the last time that you had to deal with my spouse? My children? God, you have no idea what I'm going through. You know, the Bible teaches us something the exact opposite of that. That we have a high priest that has been, he's been through everything that we've been through. Every difficulty we go through, our great high priest, Jesus Christ, has been through that. And we're just like Cain when we don't acknowledge that fact. Cain didn't acknowledge that Messiah would come for him, that the Messiah would deal with betrayal. But who did the betrayal here? Cain did the betrayal, not Jesus, not God. God didn't betray Cain here. Cain felt betrayed because God didn't accept his sacrifice, didn't accept his service. We have to make sure that we don't allow our conscience to fall, because here's what happens. The Lord looks at him and the Lord says, "I want to give you a way to be accepted." God gives him a second chance. It's not like God looked at Cain and said, "Huff, brother, you're done." He looks at me and says, "All right, Cain, if you do well," verse 7, "you will be accepted." God gives him another opportunity. If you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you don't, sin is waiting at the door. And that's what's each one of us right now, sin is waiting at the door. In fact, today when we go home after this service, we have an opportunity to say, "Sin, get out of here," and expel it and push it away. Or we can invite it in. And really the choice is up to us, just like the choice was up to Cain. What would he do? Would he expel it? Or would he invite it? Well, his conscience has already fallen, and so he's upset. Abel offered a right sacrifice. Cain didn't. But here's what God says. Even though that happened, his desire, that's Abel's desire, will still be to you. Cain, you are still the firstborn. You are still the child of promise. And God looks at Cain and says, "Cain, I look to you to lead humanity. Abel's desire will be to you." Even though Abel offered a better sacrifice, Cain, I'm giving you a second chance, and you can be the one through whom I work. But Abel looks at that and says, "No, if it's not going to be my way, it will be no way." And so, verse 8, we see an unfathomable sin. Verse 8, it says, "But Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." God gave him the opportunity to rule over his brother. All he had to do was offer an acceptable sacrifice. But instead of doing that, he talks with Cain, or with Abel. I have no idea what the conversation was. I'm sure Cain could have said to him, "Hey, Abel, next time, fruits and vegetables. Next time, you do it my way." I can just see Abel going, "You crazy? God accepted my sacrifice. I'm not doing that." I can just see that Cain goes to Abel and says, "Listen, God said you're going to have to follow me." Of course, he's forgetting the fact you have to do well, and then Abel will follow. He's forgetting that. He's forgetting that God said, sin's waiting at the door. Don't let sin in. And he's already let sin in. I can see him saying to Abel, you know, God said that you got to do what I say. So next time, you, me, my way. Abel, a righteous man, says, I can't do it your way. That's not sacrifice. You know, how many times do people come to you and try to persuade you to join into their agenda? And when they do that, we have to stand firm like Abel and not fall to that. And so the first human being that was born, Adam and Eve were created. The first one that was born, Cain, he kills his brother. The depths of the depravity, the sinfulness of man, we have no idea how deep that runs. That the first brother's born, the older one kills his younger brother. God comes to Cain after he does that. Look at me at verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Does he know where he is? Yeah, he killed him. I'm sure he hid him. Verse 10, he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. And let me just tell you, there's going to be a lot of blood of other people that will cry for our harm, cry for our destruction. Because the blood of man does not save. It only looks for vengeance. It's unfathomable to me that Cain not only could kill his brother, but then look God in the eye and lie about it. As if God didn't know what was happening. So verse 11, now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from my hand. When you till the ground, it will not from henceforth yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall you be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from your face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it will come to pass that everyone that finds me will try to kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went forth out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod in the east of Eden. We see here God's unquestionable sovereignty. When we look at God in the Old Testament, we often look at it and say, oh, an eye for an eye. You kill, God's going to kill you. That's not God. Does he give that as part of the law? Yes, he does. Because he understands that there needed to be a deterrent. But that's not God's first cry. God's heart is not about vengeance. God's heart and his sovereignty, he says, Cain, no one is going to kill you. Because if they do, I'm going to get them. You know what God offers to Cain? The exact opposite of what Cain gave Abel. That's called mercy. Instead of God returning to Cain evil, God gave to Cain good. But God did say, you're a farmer, right? Yeah, not anymore. Everything you plant is going to dry up and rot. The ground will not receive your gift because when you killed your brother and his blood went down into the earth, it screams against you. And because I am a sovereign God, you won't be able to grow anything anymore. Now, what's interesting is the scripture tells us here in verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Cain will never enter again into his presence. Cain has done sacrificing. Cain has done trying for the Lord. He quit. Now, if you're in a place where you feel like, man, I've walked from God. My sacrifices have not been acceptable to God. My life has not been right with God. Don't do what Cain did. Don't walk away. Don't leave his presence. Now's the time to come back to him. Now's the time to confess to him, because God is gracious. In Hebrews 12:24, it says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." See, Jesus died as well, didn't he? Because of mankind. He died because of our sin, and his blood was spilled. But when his blood was spilled and it hit the ground, it didn't cry out for vengeance. When Jesus' blood was spilled and it hit the ground, it cried out for grace. And Jesus said, "I want mankind to come to me. I want mankind to find favor with me. And so I offer my blood so I can sprinkle it on mankind. He can have a new covenant with God, and man and God can be together." I'm so glad that the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, speaks wonderful things for us. So now this morning, if you've gone the way of Cain, God offers a way back. And he offers that through the blood of Jesus Christ and the new covenant. And this morning, he's calling out to you saying, "Come back. Come back." Let's pray here together. Lord, I thank you that you love us so much, that you give to us unquestionable sovereignty. You have the ability right now to end every single one of us for the wrong that we have done. But instead of doing that, you offer unto us in this moment grace that is greater than all my sin. Lord, this morning we just need to cry out to you and say, "Lord, I want you to have your own way." And so, Lord, if any here have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that this morning that they would just stop trying to offer their own sacrifice. They would quit trying to have their own righteousness shown. But, Lord, they would receive that gift of Jesus, that sprinkling of blood that speaks grace for us. Lord, I pray for any this morning who've walked away from their faith. They've been going the way of Cain. Lord, maybe they're here in church all the time, but their attitude is not that you want. Lord, maybe they have a religiousness, but it's all about them. It's all selfish. I pray, Lord, that kind of faith would be completely lost in this church. That it would be all about you, because it is your blood that speaks those wonderful things. And so, Lord, I pray during this invitation time that our hearts would be open, that our bodies would respond, and that you truly would have your own way in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, I want to invite you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, come on down and shake my hand and say, "Listen, I want to trust Jesus Christ. I want the blood of Jesus applied to my account." And this morning, Jesus Christ, he will save you. And if God has spoken to your heart and you've been wandering the way of Cain, maybe you are saved, but boy, it's been a selfish faith. Maybe this morning you need to come and just fall on your knees before God. The invitation is open for you to respond as God would have you. And let's stand together. And still.
Humbly I